As a prelude to the address, I think it can be useful to remind ourselves of the principles that bind us together as Unitarians. So I'd like to present two short lists of Unitarian principles. The first is taken from the UUA website, the Unitarian Universalist Association in America, and the second is based on an address Bill Darlison delivered from this pulpit 10 or so years ago, where he sought to counter the oft-heard assertion that those Unitarians, they don't believe in anything. So first, the seven UUA principles assert the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Two, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Three, the acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. Four, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Five, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within congregations and in society at large. Six, goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. And seven, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. And as I said, in a similar vein, a set of 10 Unitarian beliefs. Unitarians are not called upon to believe in statements of metaphysical speculation. We have no creed. There are, however, certain fundamental beliefs upon which most Unitarians do agree. Here are 10 such guiding principles. One, we believe that all human beings have the right to pursue the big questions of existence, and that these questions are best approached in a supportive and understanding community, free from dogmatic assumptions, inherited prejudices, indoctrination, and coercion. We reserve the right to make up our own mind. Two, we believe in consistently examining and refining our personal beliefs and opinions in matters of faith. We reserve the right to change our mind. Three, we believe in respecting all religious traditions. Despite sometimes failing to live up to their highest ideals, they have, given the world inspiring ideas, nurtured great minds and fostered noble acts. Four, we believe that all religious scriptures are human products and that they must be interpreted with care and compassion, recognizing that words on a page can never take precedence over reason, kindness, and respect for all. Five, we believe in democracy, that spiritual communities should be run by and on behalf of their members, and that authority to preach and to minister should be conferred by the community and not by any external agency. Six, we believe in that community and that it is important to share joys and sorrows and to celebrate our sacred moments together. Seven, we believe that human life is sacred, that each human being is unique and precious, being both worthy and of worth. Eight, we believe that we are all entirely equal, that differences between people based on gender, sexual orientation, or gender identity are to be celebrated and valued, and that these differences should never be a reason to exclude a person from membership or bar them from ministry. Nine, we believe we have a duty of care for the weak, the vulnerable, and the dispossessed in our own community and throughout the world. And 10, we believe that the earth is precious, and it and every living thing upon it must be treated with care, reverence, and respect.
Thank you, Kevin. Country roads, take me home. How many of you are mentally singing, next line, to the place I belong? Home, that place you can belong. It could be West Virginia or West Cork, London or Longford, Galway or Gaza. And it could also be so much more than a geographical location you can mark on a map. Home encompasses many different ideas, theories, and feelings. Home is about belonging, about security, shelter, community, safety, support, familiarity, confidence, respite, comfort. Home is about love. Home is a fixed point in a world of current affairs spinning around us with increasing volatility. What is it to feel at home, or to come home, to leave home, or, as has happened to too many people, to lose your home, whether to war or persecution, to domestic violence, to the bank, to fire or flood, or to relationship breakdown? What is it to be homesick? The Welsh have a wonderful word, hyrach, which expresses a deep spiritual longing for a home that maybe never was, the echo in the soul of places past. Home has many levels of meaning, and correspondingly meets many levels of need. Looking at all the various needs that are met by what we call home, I have found it helpful to refer to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a model used in psychology and sociology, healthcare and social work. It is a five-layer pyramid describing human needs. Each of the five layers describe a set of needs which must be met before a person is able to build on them and pay attention to the next layer up. The base layer of Maslow's pyramid contains the physiological needs, those fundamental biological requirements for survival, such as food and water and shelter. Shelter in this context could mean a doorway or a cave. It is literally just protection from exposure to the elements. Even people we refer to as homeless generally attain this level of home. But of course, it is far from enough. Once we are not at risk of sunstroke or blizzard, our attention can move up to the second layer of Maslow's pyramid. This contains safety needs, including security and predictability of our immediate environment. What this means for us in terms of home includes the possibility of belongings, whether this be a bookshelf or a sleeping bag. I did an informal survey of what people think of when I ask them what home means to them. A lot of people referred to this level of need. I'm going to give you a couple of quotes. Home is the place I'm in control of. Who can come in? The temperature, lighting, furniture, and where I can spend downtime without planning it in advance. Home is where I can cook, where I can be fully myself. Home is where your books are, and all that stuff you should have thrown away years ago but never did. The third level of Maslow's pyramid is about the needs of love and belonging. This is where we find community, group memberships, relationships, and affection. Many of the responses to my survey can be summed up by Caroline's, "Home is where my people are." I noticed that the promotional advert for this year's General Assembly meetings, the annual business and social conference of the Unitarians in the UK, under whom Gavin has been training to become a Unitary minister, contains the line, "Come to find your people and discover where you belong." I have often heard Unitarians describe the moment of discovering a Unitarian congregation as finding their spiritual home. In fact, just this year, both Jennifer and Maud did so from this reading desk. I tend to be quite jealous of that moment because I never got to have one. I was born and brought up at the centre of UK Unitarianism, with both my parents very active preachers throughout London and the southeast of England, members of two London congregations, and serving on several of the local, regional, and national committees. Active Unitarianism was my home and is my default experience of what religion and church are. So I never had that aha moment of discovering this wonderful religion of ours. More so, I get constantly frustrated when we do not live up to our high ideals. The fourth and penultimate layer of Maslow's pyramid pertains to esteem, recognition, competence, and respect. We each have need for respect from our own selves and from other people. Confidence in ourselves, our worth and our abilities and decisions, and of a worthy reputation. These needs can be met through the emotional security home can provide when we are valued for the roles we fulfill in the family, in the workplace, in our voluntary organisations, and in the wider community. Of course, there may be bullies and abusers in any of these home places, and feeling unsafe in a space meant to nurture you is a horrible experience which too many of us are familiar with. The pinnacle of Maslow's pyramid of needs, the level we can only start to pay attention to when all of the layers beneath it are solid enough to build upon, we find creativity, the ability to become our fully actualized selves. This is where we can achieve joy, insight, personal growth, and be truly at home in ourselves. In my survey, many people described home as the place they are able to write, to craft, and especially to co-create, such as playing inventive role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons, or in a musical ensemble, or team sports. Now we have looked at our need for home, which is tied into every level of Maslow's model of human needs. When new members of this congregation are welcomed to sign the membership book, they, and all existing members present, make a spoken commitment to support the congregation and each other. As Unitarians, as people of faith, we have declared we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person and encouragement of the spiritual growth of those around us, as Kevin reminded us earlier. Surely, we are called upon to help provide some or all of these levels of home to those who are in need. Because Unitarianism is a faith of action. It is not, or should not, be something we do for an hour or two on a Sunday, and then can sit back feeling smug for being so liberal for the rest of the week. It is not enough to say the Unitarian words without thinking about what they mean and acting upon them. As a congregation, we have done some sterling work in this area, standing guarantor for refugee families, giving asylum seekers access to the Dema kitchen, and that kind of thing. My charge to you today is to personally undertake some action to help make those who need it a bit more feel at home because of your presence in their life. You are part of this Unitarian community. We are made up of individuals. Please don't sit back and rely on other people to provide the Unitarian response to those in need. Please be an active Unitarian yourself. Each of us have different strengths and limitations, and there are many ways of stepping up and turning our thoughts and prayers into concrete help for those in need. I am sure many of you are already doing many things in this regard and will have suggestions as to what other individuals can do. Perhaps you can discuss that over coffee after the service. Here are some of my suggestions. You could offer your spare room to a Ukrainian refugee. You could give money to and or volunteer on soup runs, such as the Muslim Sisters of Air, who every Friday give out hot food and sleeping bags to Dublin's homeless. I have heard that the Muslim Sisters of Air do Christianity properly. You could support applications for halfway houses or direct provision housing in your neighbourhood and oppose those who oppose it. You could lobby for adequate and respectful trans health care so that every person of inherent worth and dignity may feel at home in their own bodies. You could make a start by bringing in your neighbour's bins after bin day. There are many opportunities, large and small, for you to make a difference. And I ask you to pay enough attention to see them and act on them. What we begin in our prayers, may we continue in our lives. Amen.